Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Jesus. morning again, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. This is Elder David Wise here with you on the program this morning, and we're thankful to have you here with us, and we'd love to hear from you if you enjoy our program. We've heard from people internationally recently in Europe and Africa, and also Canada, and we'd love to hear from you regardless of where you live. You can find our contact information at gospel-of-grace.com, and we'd love for you to email us, and we can correspond with you, answer any questions you might have. And if you live in the North Mississippi area, we would love for you to come worship with us at Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church that's outside Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, and we're outside Ackerman, Mississippi, and also on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn. So we'd love for you to come and worship with us, or you can also find a church that might be closer to you on our website, gospel-of-grace.com. This morning on the program, we'd like to give you the second installment of Glorying in the Cross of Jesus Christ from Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14. So we hope you can stay tuned with us here on the program today. We'll bring that message to you right after this song. Please stay tuned.
My chains are gone,
Good morning. I'd like to go back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 and us to continue some thoughts on the centrality and the necessity of glorying solely in Jesus Christ and glorying solely in the cross of Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. And then the effects of that in our life. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The source of our glory and our eternal salvation is not in anything that we do. The source of our glory is solely in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus finished the work of salvation on the cross. John chapter 19 and verse 30 says, Jesus declared with a loud voice as he was giving up the ghost, it is finished. He finished all the requirements of our eternal salvation on the cross. And the majority of Christianity today, outside of the primitive original Baptist church, the majority of Christianity today affirms that there is some action that is necessary on the part of the sinner for them to go to heaven. Whether praying a prayer, belief, faith, baptism, or a tipping of the scales with a 51% good works life. There's something that's necessary. There is some condition that is placed on our eternal salvation. And the Apostle Paul wholeheartedly rejected that. You know, he actually says that if any man comes preaching another gospel, and people had at the churches of Galatia, and they were being bewitched by a Jesus plus doctrine, a Jesus plus circumcision, a Jesus plus something you do doctrine. They're being bewitched. And Paul says, look, if anybody comes preaching to you a gospel other than what I preach to you, of nothing more than the sovereign grace of God, then you let that man be accursed. I want you to realize how serious of terms we're talking about here. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, if anybody comes preaching other than Jesus Christ and his cross being the only means of eternal salvation, then you let that man be accursed. You let him be anathema. He says, God forbid that we glory in anything other than Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 15, Peter equates a Jesus plus doctrine to tempting God. Why are you tempting God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples that neither we nor our fathers are able to bear? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus our Lord. So the source of our glory is not in any works that we perform. It's not in a prayer that we pray. We don't put confidence in our eternal salvation of something that we do. Instead, our confidence and hope is solely in Jesus Christ. And therefore, let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But I want you to notice the effect of this. I want you to notice the effect of a proper understanding of eternal salvation, the timely effect in our lives of a proper understanding of how we are saved to heaven solely by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You see, when we align properly the doctrine of eternal salvation, every bit of practical admonitions of sacrifice and service and devotion to God, every single bit of that is underscored, highlighted, and promoted because of what God has already done for us. You see, when we see we are a wretched sinner, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, I deserve nothing more than God's eternal judgment, and I'm such a wretched, poor sinner, and there's nothing I could do to please a holy God. There's nothing I could do to honor God and make anything acceptable before him. I'm just wretched. I'm just pitiful. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And we see ourselves in that wretched condition, and we see that we are worthy of God's eternal wrath. You know, if my soul were sent to hell, can you sing along with the hymn writer that if my soul were sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well? There's a lot of people that think God would be unrighteous to send anyone to hell. No, when we see ourselves in our sin, we know that God would be righteous. He would be justified to send us to eternal perdition and judgment for all of eternity because of our sins before holy God. So you see yourself in that wretched, ruined, horrible condition, but then you see that by nothing more than God's sovereign, unmerited, free grace, that he loved the people that weren't worthy of his love. That's the whole purpose of salvation by grace. Do you understand that? Grace is unmerited favor. The whole purpose of grace is that you don't deserve it. The whole purpose of grace is that you're totally wretched and you don't deserve anything of God. But instead, he gave the most precious commodity in the entire universe, which is the blood of his only begotten Son. You see yourself in this wretched condition and you see the amazing blessing of God saving us. But he didn't just save us, he saved us to heaven. I mean, we can't even fathom the fullness of the glory and the peace and joy that we will feel for all of eternity in heaven with God. I mean, we go from eternal wrath and woe and judgment to just undescribable joy and bliss in heaven with God for all of eternity. And you see the magnitude of that and you feel so unworthy and you feel just so overwhelmed with what God has done for you when I don't deserve any of it. What should be our response? What should be our response to that? You know, there were some people in Acts chapter 2 that heard the preaching of Jesus and they were compelled to action. They were pricked in the heart and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We got to do something, right? I understand the message of the gospel and that Jesus saved me solely by his grace and my only confidence, my only glory is in what Jesus did on the cross. But now I feel compelled in my heart to do something. I feel compelled in my heart to do something in service to God." And what does God tell you you need to do? He says you need to crucify yourself. You see, Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. But God has given us a cross to bear and a death to die, and we die that death every day. You see, Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 describes our bodies being a living sacrifice. Well, the whole purpose of a sacrifice is what? It's death, which is an oxymoron, is it? We're a living sacrifice. We die daily. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, we die daily. Now, I want you to understand, though, what is the basis of our daily martyrdom, right? What is the motivation for our daily martyrdom, to die daily to ourselves in service to God? It's God's eternal salvation. It's God's unmerited favor. It's his sovereign grace that he's freely bestowed upon me. You see, that gives us the proper perspective to glorify God properly. That gives us the proper perspective to serve God properly and also to put up with the difficult anguish and pain that goes along with us picking up our cross. You know, this cross is a symbol of death. It is a place of death. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of pain. And in a natural sense, we have to give up some things. We have to give up some things and crucify some things to serve God fully and devotedly here in this world. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 very quickly. The Apostle Paul used to put a lot of confidence in the things of the flesh. He used to put a lot of confidence in his works. And he says in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, that I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." In other words, if you want to brag on works, if you want to brag on a spiritual resume, the Apostle Paul says, "I can beat every single one of you. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I want you to notice he gave up some things. Things that he used to place confidence in, things that he used to place as of high value in his life, now they are loss. You see, a living sacrifice requires what? It requires sacrifice, doesn't it? It requires a putting to death. It requires a loss. But you know what? When we align ourselves with the right perspective, when we see what Jesus has done for us and we serve him out of gratitude and honor and adoration for his blessings and grace in our life, when we properly align that, we see that the true riches are not in the things of this world. I'm giving up some things, certainly. I'm giving up power. I'm giving up authority, particularly the Apostle Paul, giving up prominence and power and authority in the Jewish religion, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. He had a lot of power and authority, but He gave up some things, but you know what? They didn't matter. He says, I count them but dung, just vanity and things that aren't worth anything here in this world. And what did he give it up for? Just communion with Jesus, right? He gave it up for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Remember what we read in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let him that glorieth, let him glory in this. What do we glory in here in this world? What do we glory in? I tell you, there's a lot of things that the people of this world, even well-meaning Christians, would complete this sentence a whole lot differently than the Holy Spirit did. What do we glory in? Well, the thing we should glory in the most is understanding and knowing God. And if we understand and know God and we have fellowship with God, even though we're giving up things, even though we're giving up things in the world that might be advantageous or might be attractive to our flesh, we're giving up those things, but we're getting so much more. We're getting the fellowship with Jesus. And you understand, that's what man was created for. We were created for the glory of God, but we were created also for fellowship with God. We were created for fellowship with Jesus. You see, that's how we were created in the Garden of Eden, but sin messed that up. Jesus came into this world and died on the cross to restore that fellowship, and that's where we'll be restored to for all of eternity in heaven, is a restoration of fellowship with God, to know God fully. Oh my goodness, we will know God as we are known. I'll tell you, that's what'll make heaven heaven, right? Is knowing the fullness of God. And we get to know a little bit about Jesus here in time. We get to have fellowship with him here in time in his kingdom. But oh, for the day, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. Oh, for the day that we will know him as we are known. I'll tell you, that is life eternal. Knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ. And when you know Jesus, especially when you know you're such a wretched sinner and he saved me by nothing more than his sovereign grace. But then when you walk in fellowship and communion with God every single day, I'll tell you, the things of this world, they just fade away. They are but lost. They are but dung. They just don't matter. They don't matter. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, because of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, and in verse 23, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. There's a lot of verses in the Gospels that say things very similar, but I'm highlighting Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and I always like to quote this one to emphasize this point, because this makes the specific point of taking up our cross daily. It's a daily struggle for us to pick up the cross of self-denial and deny ourselves to serve God. And I want you to notice, the worst enemy that we will ever have in service to God is the person that looks at us in the mirror every morning when we get up. If any man will come after me, what's the very first thing you have to do? What's the very first thing you have to do? Let him deny himself. And that's the hardest thing to do. Because I would say the greatest idol that God's children, that God's people have, not just today, but throughout all history, the greatest idol that God's children have in their life is self. The greatest idol that God's children have in this world is self. And we have to put that idol down. What's the very first thing we have to do is deny ourselves. The greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And we can't do that if we love ourselves more than we love God, right? If we make ourselves an idol. So you know what you do? You know, it's kind of like the inverse seesaw relationship that John the Baptist described in John chapter 3 and in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. The more Christ increases in your life, the more yourself decreases. Well, if you're going to follow God, the first thing you have to do, if he's going to increase in your life, the first thing you have to do is have yourself decrease. The first thing you have to do is deny yourself. You have to decrease yourself. And then Christ is elevated in your life. And that's what we want. We want Christ to be elevated. We want Christ to be exalted in our life. And the way that Christ is increased, the way that Christ is exalted in your life, is by you denying yourself and taking up your cross daily, crucifying yourself so that you can live in service to God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want you to notice the last part of this verse, who loved me and gave himself for me. That fact is what motivates our crucifying ourself daily, right? Our knowledge and commitment to Jesus Christ as the only means of our eternal salvation. He loved me and he gave himself for me. He gave up his life willingly, voluntarily, and lovingly for me. Now I want to give up my life willingly, voluntarily, and lovingly to God. You see, he gave his life for me. So therefore, the life that I now live is bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. And the life that I now live, I want to live in a way that tries to repay my gratitude for God loving me and saving me. And I do that by denying myself. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We take up our cross daily in service to God, and we glory in Jesus Christ. And it's difficult, right? We know that it's difficult. It's difficult to deny yourself. It's not pleasant to take up a cross. It's not pleasant to deny yourself and crucify yourself and mortify yourself. But we do that in service to God. We do that in service to Jesus Christ because he loved us. He gave himself for us. You see, he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. The least we could do, the least we could do is use these bought and paid for bodies to lay our lives back down in service to him because of his great love wherewith he loved us. So I hope we can be encouraged to do that. Let us glory in the Lord, glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, and crucify ourselves in service to the Lord. Let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May God bless you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.